Welcome back to the Change of Plans podcast. I am Joe Aguirre along with Ben Provenzano. And here we go, episode number 9. Great response so far on this podcast. And Ben,
yes,
you look great, by the way.
Oh, you stop it, Joe. You ravishing young man. I know. I didn't get a chance to go home, do the old switcheroo, and come back. So you got work, Vin, right now. This is business up top. Always partying on the bottom, though. You know how I roll, Joe.
Now I'm wondering what the bottom looks like, and I don't want to be. I don't
want
to be.
You don't want me standing up today, dude. It's no bueno.
And your dog is there too. We should probably mention that because your dog, he's got to move his bowels soon.
My dog, it's so usually my schedule is I get to the house, he'll shit because he'll hold his shit all day, and then I'll come back here to do the podcast. Well, you know, we're on a time crunch, so I was like, maybe we'll drag it out a bit. And there's a pretty good chance he's gonna shit in my office. So thank God this is not something that our audience could smell. So, but I'm going to, you know, cross my fingers and hopefully he doesn't shit. But if he shits, can't really blame him either. I'm not holding my shit for 12 hours, so it's all right.
That's a lot to ask of your best friend.
It is, but that's why he's ride or die, dude. If there's anyone I can count on to hold their shit for a long period of time, it's my dog. It's nice. It's not like my stepson who takes, which is weird, he takes mid-dinner shits. I've never seen it. And it's not like once in a while. It's a good halfway through the meal. It's like a pit break at a you know, a racetrack. Like he's like, I'm halfway through the chicken cutty.
Yeah, the chicken cutty.
And finish this off. It's the most wild, and he's like so casual about it, like everybody does it. It's amazing to me. It's wild. And the other thing that now that we're talking about shits, because this is really just going off the rails today, but we'll get it back on eventually. You know what annoys me about having a kid in the house? Like, he's got his own in-law apartment downstairs, right? He's got his own bathroom and shit, but he will walk his ass upstairs to drop heat in my bathroom. Like, bro, right? Like, I mean, like, I just don't... It just makes me mad. Like every time I walk him up, he's got his cell phone in his hand. And I'm like, sure, bro, have at it. And it's usually like when I'm getting home in the morning, I'm trying to get ready for work and I got to brush my teeth. And he just cuts me off. Like we're on the highway and just beelines it in the bathroom. And I'm like, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So maybe this will be what the podcast is about today.
Well, if you want to make it about that, yeah, my 8-year-old son, he has his own bathroom, and for some reason, whenever he's got to go, and he's got to announce it, he's got to do the, he'll either say, "I got to drop a deuce."
I like that. That's a strong one.
This another one. He'll say, "I got to drop some heat."
I was just gonna say, you got to go with the heat. That's a classic.
I like that one a lot. Or he'll just be like, oh man, I gotta take a shit, and right into my bathroom. I don't understand. Like, right, there's multiple bathrooms. The one by your room, that's the one you go in. The one you have to go into my bedroom to get into, that's not your bathroom. It's not your bathroom at all.
Just it's one of the infuriating things of parenthood that I'm learning. It's that, and I don't know if we've talked about this before, but the making of food and it just sitting there until whenever they decide to graze. It's just, there's nothing more. I think it had to be maybe last week, the week before. He's sleeping, and so I'm making this sandwich, right? Like, and I take pride. I want my dope ass breakfast sandwich in the morning. So I got 15 pots out. I look like crazy, right? And for this like little sandwich, and I'm just beaming with pride. He sits down, and it's just glowing off the plate. I'm like, oh my God, take a bite and let me know how good I am at this shit, bro. 10 minutes, like 15 minutes. Like, I had to leave the house. Like, my wife was just staring at me. Just, she knew it. Like, she was just laughing because I was just getting more infuriated by the minute. So I left. I left the house. I didn't stick around to see if he liked the sandwich or not. I have till this day, I have no idea if he ate it because I was so infuriated. But my wife does the same thing. She'll make a meal and she'll just eat it whenever. I mean, I got to be burning my mouth. It just drives me crazy. Absolutely crazy.
Can I tell you the new funny thing that my 12-year-old daughter has been doing? I just figured this out the other day because she, while I'm at work, she likes to come down here and she likes to use this computer to go on YouTube. And she's autistic. And so she does sometimes things for no rhyme or reason. One of the things she likes to do is this here microphone, she'll contort it in all sorts of weird ways. And she does the same thing with my camera. She likes to mess with the camera. Actually pulled it off its arm the other day. And then a couple days ago, she was down here and she started freaking out because she was trying to watch YouTube videos. And I'm like, what is going on with this computer? Why is it not connecting? She's been unplugging the internet. It's the only white cord underneath here. And for some reason,
I'm starting to sweat for you. You know how, like, when something bad happens to somebody else and you start sweating? And
yeah.
And you're just like, oh, man, I do that with movies, too. Like, I hate awkward moments in movies. Like, I can bathe in an awkward moment in person, like, if I'm creating it, because I think it's hilarious. But I will get up and leave the room if it's an awkward moment in a TV show or movie. Like, I physically start sweating. Like, I don't know
no
what
kidding.
It is I can. Oh, dude, it's bad. It's just, and I don't know why, because I'm the king of awkward. Like, there's nothing more I like to do than just create a problem. I had it today. I'm in court and I'm dealing with this case, and it's I just really can't stand the mom. I can't stand anything about this lady. And in my opinion, she's just not a very good person. And her attorney is fantastic. Great attorney, great family lawyer, but I just lost my mind in the hallway. And it's about parenting time, and my client can't see the kid because mom has to breastfeed the kid until the kid's 14. Like, whoever the fuck knows, it's wild, right? But, like, I start losing my mind, and I'm like, I just had a parent got Narcan 3 times, and she's sleeping over with the kid tonight. And I'm like, you're telling me this? Like, losing my mind, bro. Like, sweating. I had an umbrella. I almost hit somebody. And I'm like, and then all of a sudden this guy comes up. He's like, dude, can I get your number? I need a lawyer like you. And then I didn't have a car. So I was like, here, give me your phone, give him my cell and a post-it. I'm like, maybe someday I will be professional. But like, I'm the king of awkward. But you get me at like a Hallmark movie and it's some weird point, dude. I gotta leave, man. I gotta leave. So but it's just been one of those weeks, Joe. It's a frustrating week. Long week, right? How was your week?
My week was interesting. I am trying to go away for the weekend with my wife and children. They've already left. They're already at Cape Cod. And so I've been each day doing extra work so that I can have 2 days off to go spend with my family, as ungrateful as they are.
You know, that is hilarious, because I was I'm laughing because I had just, like, I wrote down something, and it was, so my wife, yeah, so kind of going along with the vacation thing and the whole, I mean, not being ungrateful, but my wife's like big into memories and not spending money, right? So yep. It's just, so I saw this cool quote and I'm like, oh, we could talk about this today, change some lives, you know. It's just stop being afraid to spend money, because you're not spending money, you're buying memories, right? Like, and it's that, like, and then you got waves in the background and then the ocean splashing and it's this great music on TikTok, and then reality hits you in the face. You're like, I just worked an extra 72 hours, so these 4 kids could drop a bunch of hot dogs in the sand and bitch about how hot it is outside,
right? Yeah.
That's like the behind the scenes of the commercial, right? But no, that's good though. Like you know, I mean, it's good to get that quality time in. But man, I hate the beach, Joe. I couldn't. No, there's nothing appealing about it. Actually, not one thing.
You know what the worst part is? It's like 3 hours from here.
It's like going to Fairfield, right? Like it's
a haul. It's a haul, and like for what? You know,
it's
it all
not
really
far enough
for?
To be a trip, right? Yeah. It's just like far enough to be super fucking annoying.
Yeah,
and you're dealing with traffic to be 3 hours from your house.
Yep,
in Cape Cod.
In like, Cape Cod. And here's the worst part. My wife has been going to Cape Cod her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we go to Cape Cod, we have to go and do all the things she's been doing since she was like eight.
So when are you supposed to leave? Are you leaving tonight? Leaving tomorrow?
No, I gotta work tomorrow. I gotta go do the morning show. And that's always fun. Spread all that hate. And then I got to record my my afternoon show. So I'll be heading out about 11, get there about, you know, before dinner, I guess.
Dude, it's so long. It's the worst.
I'm going to drive there and I'm going to get there and I'm going to unpack my stuff out of the car and they're going to be like, hey, let's go have dinner. And I'm not going to want to, I'm going to want to sit down and relax. I just drove 3 hours by myself. Nobody will care.
No, they just want dinner. And they're like, don't leave your wallet in the car. At least you're getting away, man. I've been, so baseball season started and, you know, the kids have the week off, but like the school forgets that parents don't have the week off. So we had a game at 11 on like a Tuesday.
Oh, geez.
And another one on Thursday at like 12. And I could tell you once again, like these things I'm learning as a parent, you know, it's bad enough. Like you're trying to get out of work at like 3 o'clock, but now I got to get out at 11 o'clock to watch this team get shellacked.
Ooh.
Like 0-5. Like I drove.
Really?
I drove to Clinton from Meriden. And I pulled in the parking lot, I saw the scoreboard, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Right? Like, come on, kids. Yeah, they are 0-5. It's no bueno. No bueno. They actually don't look bad. A lot of, like, one-run games. But, man, that, I'm trying to rethink things. Maybe I can pull on the bad luck charm, so maybe I'll
you
stay
go.
Home.
Right?
You know,
that's a lot of driving to be disappointed, though.
It, you know, it's about the kids, as Trick Daddy says, right? Like it's about the kids, but like then too, like I'm old school, like these kids are pouting and like, and I'm just raging out. And then you always get that one parent whose kid is doing awesome and he's just fucking walking around and like floating. Like, oh, another hit for my kid. And I'm like, dude, I'm just gonna fucking run you over in the parking lot. I can't. I won't mention any names in case people listen.
Yeah. How's your stepson playing? Is he doing okay?
He's playing well. He had he pitched last week. He had 10 strikeouts in 5 innings.
Nice.
Little struggling at the plate, but he'll find that. He usually gets in a midseason groove and he's catching for the first time ever. So we our starting catcher who was nasty was like, I'm not gonna catch, and if I have to catch, I'm not gonna play baseball. So no one wanted to be a catcher anymore. So the coach asked Jess, who's probably an all-state caliber center fielder, to catch. So he's learning on the fly, but he looks good back there. I enjoy it. He's a thinker, right? So he's engaged a lot as a catcher, so I think he likes it. But, man, it takes a toll on your body, dude. Like, he had a game last weekend, caught 7 innings. Next day, he threw 5 innings, and then he had to play right field. So by the time we got the right field, he looked like me walking. And I'm like, oh my God, dude. Like I couldn't even imagine. But he's doing all right. Like he's doing well. You know, I feel bad for the kids, but you know, whatever. They get to play baseball. It's just the parents that sometimes annoy me, but I'm not going to get into it because some of the parents listen to this, so I don't want them, like, process of elimination who has been talking shit about.
They'll figure it out, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like one of those, like, I'm already, like, I'm fully vested now. Like, you know, I'm fully vested stepdad. So my time's coming to start losing my shit on some of these parents. Like, it's coming. Because you get those ones that just talk shit about other people's kids. Like, while, like, everyone's sitting there. Like, we all hear you. And, like, no one on the team is Joe DiMaggio. So, you know, maybe I'll bring Joe to a game. Joe likes to point out the facts of the case. Be like, yo, hey, by the way, your kid?
Your kid's fundamentally lacking some skills, if we're being honest here. Yeah, but like, I'd love to come and do that.
But I think it's like, you know, so I think baseball parents are the worst. I heard soccer parents are crazy, right? But, like, I think like it's a soccer mom thing, but baseball parents, like, everyone thinks their kid is going next level. Like, they're like, he's on a travel team. I'm like, so is everybody else. Like, they're like, he's going to go pro. And you're like, no, he is not. Like, parents are crazy. Like, I've been to 1,000 baseball games. And I'm like, why? Like, why in the world? Like, so, like, it's insane. And then on top of it, then the parents, like, take credit. Like, they did it. Like, they're the ones playing the baseball or the sport. Like, they always use a pronoun, we. Like, no, there's no we. Like, I'm not out there. Like, there's zero shot, like, I'm going to be catching. Right? Like, yesterday, for example, this is how old I am, and this is how I know I'm not definitely not playing baseball. I had two different socks on yesterday in court. Right? And I knew I had two different socks on when I left my house. But I know how difficult it is to change my socks at my ripe old age of 44. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get angry with myself because it hurts for me to change my socks. So I rolled up to court, two different socks on. And you know what? I'm two steps away from grabbing a fishing pole and having to hook my sock and reel it off. You know, but no, you know, he's doing well. He's got the prom coming up soon, so he's excited about that, you know. He's out there living his life, hanging out with his friends. I think that's – which is good, but it also aggravates me. Like, he went hit golf balls with his friend yesterday, and he didn't ask me to go.
You golf?
Yeah. Not well, but I golf. I like to golf, yeah. Yeah.
I also like to golf. Not well.
Well, maybe that's something we could do, Joe. Look at that, Joe. We just had a connection on air. That is live.
We're doing it. Let's
go. Yeah. So it's funny because me and him used to go to the driving range, and now that he has friends and he drives,
you're out.
And I'm like, and I dropped hints like three or four times, like, hey, you know, you need another one, or like, hey, I'm playing Sunday. And, you know, you think you get the pity invite. And my wife's like, oh, you know, just go with them. I'm like, no. Like, I just want the, like, hey, you want to come with us?
Yeah.
See you later, Ben. I'm like,
nice. Have fun.
I'll be here watching This Is Us on Netflix. That uplifting show. That is, have you seen that show, by the way? This Is Us?
Yes. Yeah, I refer to it as hate watching. That's what I do. When I watch it and I criticize it, and my wife does too. It's actually something we enjoy doing together.
So we've been trying to find shows to watch, right? And I love my wife is just gonna hate me. So I love my wife. So we'll find a show, right? And I'm not a big fan of it, but then I'm trying to get into it. And then she just watches episodes without me. Like, if I'm sitting down watching some shows,
whoa.
And then it's just like, and she's not vindictive. She's just, you know. So I'm like, all right, well, get me up to speed. I'll catch the cliff notes. And then what I like to do, though, is because these shows are so stupid, I'll sit down, like, and I'll just like, oh, this is what happened. She's like, how did you know? You didn't watch the show. And I'm like, it's not that complicated, but you know, this show's a bit emotional to watch with your spouse, depending where your spouse, like yesterday was I don't know, the couple's fighting about she's like a singer and she's traveling a lot and not raising the kids or whatever. So the husband gets drunk and sucker punches some dudes. He try to make out with his wife. Like all normal shit a guy should do. Like
Yeah.
that's what I would do, which in turn like causes a little bit of a discussion in the house. And I'm like, well, yeah, if you're on the road being a lounge singer, some dude tries to kiss you and you don't tell me, like, we're gonna have a problem. She's like, well, she sacrificed her life to raise these kids. And I'm like, I can't watch this show anymore. Like, and then you go to bed angry over This Is Us. Like, it's just awkward in the house right now over a goddamn show. But the whole premise is weird, right? Like, it's a weird, like, you're supposed to have what, triplets, and then the one baby died, so all of a sudden some dude, homeless guy, just dropped the baby off and they're like, here, take the kid, this is a good idea, and wallow, you have a show. And I'm like, and then we get an argument about that. I'm like, that's not realistic. Like, that's kind of odd. And I'm like, why are we watching this show? Like, it none of this really makes sense. But then I get hooked. Like, that's the other problem. I get mad because then I'm all of a sudden like, I want to watch a show, and she's just sitting there, just watching away. Just watching away.
You know what my wife will do sometimes? We'll be watching something, and I sense maybe she's not that into it. And all of a sudden, she'll just like turn it off or flip to something else. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're not into this. We're like 20 minutes into like an hour long thing. What do you
You're not it. I just like the
just
statement.
put it back on
You're
now.
not
Just put it back on.
into
Yeah. You know, it's really funny. We watched a movie on Netflix a couple weeks back, and I think Amy Adams was in it.
Yep.
And she was like, Amy Adams in it. This is a really good movie. And I jokingly, I went, who's directing it? And it was like a first time director.
Yep.
And we watched this movie, and I got to tell you, it sucked. It wasn't very good. And the movie ended, and I said to her, honestly, not a great debut film for this filmmaker. And she tried to defend it for a minute, and then she looked it up. And would you believe this guy was getting terribly panned for a terrible directorial debut? Big time, big time score on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, look at that. That was
Facts.
right.
Fact
Nailed
bomb,
it.
truth bomb again by
Nailed it.
Joan. It's so funny, man. We like we'll watch it. She like you know what she likes to do too, and I just she likes to watch just the beginning of the next episode, like a
Oh, good.
teaser,
A teaser
right?
for
Like a teaser,
tomorrow.
and so like I'm sitting and I know she does it, and I'm like, and I'm very prompt about time. This is how much I like you, Joe, because I am OCD about time.
Yeah.
And you know, like I'm sitting here stewing in my office, but I'm like, oh, it's 9:35. I gotta brush my teeth and get to bed by 10, or I'll die. So I just shut it off. And she just gets so mad. And my wife does not get mad at a lot of things. Like, you can't if you're living with me. Like, you just gotta just take it. But man, dude, it's she gets very angry about the shutting off of TV when she's not ready.
You know what the other new hot thing in this house is? I get a lot of, she sends me TikTok videos, but not like, hey, this is funny, watch this. There's like a hidden message in the TikToks. It's like this TikTok is about weaponized incompetence. And then, right, they start explaining like, maybe you're supposed to fold the laundry, but you all half-ass it. You don't fold it like you work at the Gap.
So
What
funny, yeah.
do you want from me? It's not enough that I help with the housework. It's like you're doing it wrong on purpose. No, I'm doing it wrong because I'm a fucking idiot. And I really don't enjoy cleaning. I don't enjoy laundry. I don't enjoy folding. I just put it
See,
away.
you would hate me because I'm that guy, like you wash something and I just walk by and I'm like, nope. No. Are you done? Are you done washing that? Like, is that clean? Or like, she doesn't put enough food in the dog bowl, and then I get mad about it. I'm like, That's how much you feed the dogs? Like, how dare you? So, well, so yesterday, we always had this argument about whether we came from primates or not, right? Because I'm just fascinated with fucking gorillas, apes, chimpanzees, all of them, orangutans. So I got this awesome TikTok, and it was like an orangutan that got a juice box for the first time.
Nice.
And he literally like pulls a straw off with his mouth, grabs the straw, punctures it in the puncture hole, and then drinks the fucking juice box like a person. And I'm like, that's proof. Like there, and I'm like crying laughing. I'm laughing so hard. And it's I don't know what's so funny. I'm like, it's hilarious. or what me and the kid always send back like forth Instagram reels. Like we'll do it all night, dude. I'll just go down a black hole of reels after reels after reels, and we are just having the time of our lives. And my poor wife is just sitting there like, what is going on? And I'm like, it's funny. She's like, it's not funny. And I'm like, that's why you're not getting the Instagram reels. But like, it's funny, right? Like, and that's how, like, I guess you connect with kids and we have a blast. But I just couldn't even imagine being a like a teenager, like a boy, and just having like Instagram or TikTok. Like, I mean, back when we were kids, it was like, I couldn't wait to get the Sears catalog. Like, I'm like, hey, I'll be back. I'm looking for some sweaters for Christmas.
Yeah. Right. Everyone's getting a sweater.
Yeah, everyone. There's a lot of sweaters in here, Ma. I'll be in the bathroom picking out my Christmas list. These kids, there's no fucking shot. And that's why I can never have a daughter either. Like, any thoughts of ever raising a daughter, Instagram, TikTok, all of it killed it. Like, you know, go be 800 pounds and name Paul. Like, go in a bell tower and just stay there forever. It is a scary, scary place out there, but. And I don't know how you girl dads do it, man. Ain't no way. No.
Yeah, I don't. I've never been a big fan of it. I don't like it. Especially, you know, once they hit like 10, 12, you know, it's all over from there.
No, it's crazy. Like, I remember when I went to high school, everyone dressed like a lesbian. Like, everyone shopped at Eddie Bauer.
Yeah.
Like, it was like those heavy, like, wool knit rug sweaters. And turtlenecks.
I was and just like, gonna say girls wearing sweatshirts with turtlenecks, like
yes,
yeah,
yes, yeah, like corduroy pants, like it was wild. And now fuck, I'd be like Cromartie type levels, bro. I would have been a dad at like 13. No fucking
that's hilarious.
Way.
You know no what way. I've noticed too with the younger girls today, Nobody wears a shirt that covers their belly. Whether you got rock hard abs or 50 rolls on top of each other, nobody wears clothing over their stomach anymore. It's ridiculous.
And it doesn't matter what time of year. Like I go right. to football games and I'm like, and then you see some jabroni dad wave at his daughter like, "Hey, Becky." And I'm like, "Bro, ain't no way you're leaving the house." And two, I am not waving at my daughter who's halfway naked. Like, you're right. Hashtag bad dad. Just bad dads, like, everywhere. It's
Becky's
just...
dad. We're talking to you.
Yeah. You know who you are. Fucking wild, man. It's a wild time. It's a wild time. So, what else is going on, my dude?
Oh, man. Well, I did also I got a TikTok about gaslighting.
Oh, dude, that is my wife's favorite gaslight. She don't gaslight me. She loves
everything's gaslighting now, and it's like maybe I'm just telling you shit that you don't like. It's not gaslighting. I know what gaslighting God. Is. This isn't it.
She loves it. Love. She's the queen of don't gaslight me. I'm like, I don't even know what gaslighting is. So I'm definitely not gaslighting you. But yes, that and my wife loves that. I think it's like you get the gaslighting now, which is one of my faves in the house. and my wife doesn't use this one, so I must be doing something right. Narcissist, right? That's my other, that's the best one they got out now, right? Like I had a client come in and, you know, my husband was diagnosed as a narcissist. And I'm like, that's not really a condition. Like he's just an asshole. Like, and I'm like,
yeah, I'm like, good for him.
Do you know what narcissism is? Yeah, the dude's an asshole. Like, well, have you ever dealt with a narcissist before? And I'm like, looking around my office, I was like, do you know what I do for a living? Like, I get paid to be an asshole. Like,
yeah.
So those are the two things. Like, although, like, I never hear, and this isn't a knock on women, but I never hear men say, "Hey, my wife's a narcissist." Like, I've never heard that. Like, so I don't know if it's like just like a dude could be a narcissist or like anyone could be a narcissist, but you know, I don't know.
I feel like they're a little more willing to throw those accusations and labels around.
But I think it's because they might be smarter than us.
They are.
Because like, there's no way like I would be like, I'm going to go find out what this is and then find out what that word is. And then call her that. Like, that is a lot of fucking
That's effort. A lot of work. It's only something ambitious women would do.
Yes. Yeah, they are much more ambitious than us. Like, I'm like that orangutan with a juice box, bro. I'm just, if
Same.
I can open up a jukebox, I've made it.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yep. That is, yeah, but that's what I deal with every day. Every day, and it's the my husband is a narcissist. Then you meet the guy, and you're like, well, I mean, if anyone's a narcissist, it could be this guy, but I think he's just a raging fucking asshole. But I could say the same thing about the mom today in the hallway, fucking raging asshole. And it's wild, right? Like, I don't understand how. Like a parent cannot want another parent involved in their life if that parent is a good parent. I said parent a lot in that, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of parents. But I think I get so angry about it. Like, there's good parents out there. And then there's just the other one is just throwing fucking speed bumps in for a variety of reasons. And that makes no sense other than just being selfish. And it just.
I think it's hard. When you're in a divorce situation, because when my wife and I were getting a divorce, we were, for all intents and purposes, cool. She didn't have any money to speak of. And basically was like, you just hire a lawyer and whatever they want, like I'll sign it, which was not smart, as you know, as an attorney. That's not what you want.
No.
But yeah, this woman would kind of go out of her way to like fuck with me. And it never made any sense. And then slowly but surely and it didn't take much, but I had to undermine her credibility a little bit with the kids, with the court, with whoever, but she kind of earned it.
Yeah, and I don't understand the end results when people like do that, right? Like I get it. It's emotional. Things didn't work out. Fine. Move on. Right? Like, you got to deal with every situation. There has to be a solution for every situation, but it's not about you and the other parent anymore. It's about the kids. And then,
right.
You know, and then I think it's just a frustrating process, and I'm getting it a lot more where people are fighting a lot more about a lot less. Like, and that's what I just don't understand. And then I think a lot of it just, I think people are just not happy with themselves and in turn want to make everybody else miserable.
Have you ever seen a situation like what I'm about to explain to you? My ex-wife, the idea of like, hey, you have him for 4 days, I'll have him for 3 days or every other, whatever.
Yep.
She thought that was the greatest thing ever. She was like, think about it. You'll have like 3 days out of the week where you don't have to worry about the kids at all. And I was like, oh, I worry about them all seven. I don't know Well, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean I only have to worry about him? What? I'm more worried about them when they're with you than when they're here with me. That's where all my worry is.
I do have that conversation a lot with people, and especially like the moms, because I find in general the moms are like much more attached, right? It's just a motherly thing. Like, you know, they're just their nature, much more nurturing. So like typically you'll have like a 2-2-3. So 2 days on, 2 days off, 3 days on, rotate, or 2 days on, 2 days off, and 5 days, right? And that 5 days is the gap. But that's that shared parenting plan. And, you know, usually the 5 days are no good for, because that's a long gap for either parent to be around. But, you know, so when my clients are struggling, you know, my go-to is, well, wouldn't it be nice to have some time for you? Like a mini vacation, right? Like we all, like my wife is a prime example. Like she, I mean, this kid leaves for 2 hours. My wife's out in the window, like, all the Western music starts playing. There's like tumbleweeds like down the road. But it's also nice to be like, hey, you know what? We could go out on a Saturday, right? Like, you know, you kind of have your own time, especially like when the kids are older and they get, they're more self-sufficient. You're not worrying as much. Or like for us, we have like a really good, like, his dad is really good. His stepmom's really good. So we really don't have to worry about it. But I tell people, you know, it'll be the first time in your life as a parent that you get to do something for you and not feel bad about it. Right. Because if you have your kid and then you're like, well, I'm going to go out with my friends for a happy hour and you have your kid, like no parent's going to want to leave their kid home. So yes, you're worrying about your kid, but it's also, I always look at it as an opportunity. That's how I have to explain it to a lot of my clients to kind of get them over that hump of, listen, this is going to happen one way or another. So you have to choose your perspective on how you're seeing the situation, right? Like you could see it as, well, it's less time with my kid. I'm losing out, missing out. And then you become depressed. Or it's like, hey, you know what? This is an opportunity to spend some time to work on me so I could be better for me and in turn be better for my kid. So, I mean, I thought I would enjoy not being a parent. Right. And then coming in, I thought I would enjoy like our weekends more. But like, I find that like when he's not there, like I'm kind of fucking bummed about it too. So, you know, cause it's nice to be able to go out and have dinner, but like I got a, like a 17-year-old who's like my best bud. So like, like yesterday I was so stoked, got home, we're going to have a fire pit, talk about his shitty baseball fucking game, give him life lessons on how, you know, stepdad was a pro baseball player. It's like, nah, fuck it. I'm going to go hit some golf balls with Paul. And poor Paul came to my house and almost got ate by my dog, you know. But yeah, it's interesting to see each parent's dynamic. But I think it's just frustrating when people can't see the bigger picture in that aspect. And I think a lot of it is just it has to do with the individual and just like they're just not happy. So if they're not happy, they're not going to let you be happy. And I think it's just wild. Like I have a case now where like I represent the father. He's a good dude. You know, the mom is married to somebody else. She has some kids with somebody else. Now they had a baby. Now those kids don't really know that the baby's not really like, you know. So like, there's a lot of moving parts and I get it, but like at the end of the day, that's not a me problem. It's not my client's problem. That's like, hey, that's the reality of your situation. So let's go try to figure it out. And I try to be patient, I guess, but I see too many bad families and too many bad parents that when you have two good parents, like you got to take advantage of that. But it's frustrating, bro. Like people are like crazy, like just absolutely nuts. I have this one guy. He's probably gonna listen to this podcast and know I'm talking about him, but I feel kind of fucking bad for the dude. So he's 57. It's like meeting somebody on Tinder type video, swipe white, swipe right. She's kind of hot. 3 months later, she's pregnant. Like, and they broke up after 2 weeks and come to find out she may or may not have been on IVF and all this shit from an ex-boyfriend. Yeah. So now like 8 months later, they go, she gets a paper from the state. Hey, you have a kid. And then, like, so what do you do now? Like, right? Like, you're
Ooh.
57, dude. And like, it's the setup, bro. Like, she's like, cool. You don't got to be involved. Just give me a check. And I'm like, ooh, dude. I just couldn't imagine. Couldn't imagine.
See, if you were a lawyer with less scruples, you could probably just tell that guy, cash in, disappear, go live on the beach in Mexico.
I mean, you could, except for the fact that this lady went and told this whole rest of his family his shit went down.
Yeah, more reason to go.
Well, like
Hi, everybody.
I tried making the argument with straight face that, he got set up, so he shouldn't be responsible. And the judge was like, yo, did you say that out loud? And I'm like,
Solid. You got to take your
solid.
shots, man. You got to take your shots.
Shooters gotta shoot, bro. Shooters gotta shoot. But like, it's just like, so when you like do this job and then you go home, and like, I don't think there's anything that anyone could ever tell me that would shock me, like, at this point, like, ever. Like, it just, there's not one thing I could ever imagine someone telling me, like, you're not gonna believe this shit, right? Like, you're just not. No, I had a guy. I can't even say that. I can't, because there's attorney-client privilege, but wild shit going on. But I think it just comes down to, with parents anyways, putting your shit aside for the betterment of the kid. But not a lot of people do it, and it's just
Again,
infuriating.
I think you have the best intentions going into this. Like, again, my ex-wife, who's a psychopath, it was like, listen, let's be cool about this. Let's put the kids first. And that was a great idea for a few weeks. And that by the time I started dating my now wife, my ex-wife suddenly, all of a sudden, my ex-wife, it was just, it was insanity. It was insanity, but she ultimately, Vin, she just really didn't want to be a full-time parent. It's what it boiled down to.
Which is fine, as long as you just come out and say it. Like, just don't pretend. Just be like, hey, you know what? I just
Do
want to
you
hang
ever
out
see
once
that
in a
in your
while.
work? Does anybody ever
Yeah.
do that?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. All the time. Like, but on the flip side, like, it's like, man, how could you do that when you're a parent? But I also kind of respect it when you're like, hey, you know what? I'm just not into it for whatever reason. I'm not going to judge you for it. I'd rather have you be honest than have me go 8 months fighting for your kid and then just be a turd of a mom or a dad. So, but you get it all the time, more often than you would think. And I think it's pretty even on both sides, to be honest with you. It's, when people say that, they'll probably associate it with dads, but it's just as much moms. But on the flip side, the days of being every other weekend dad are gone. Like, that's not the case anymore. These courts are default shared plans and things of that nature. So, I tell my clients to do what I tell you to do, that I could get you there, but you got to go put in the work, right? Like, and I think, like anything else, you got to love who you are first before you could go and be your best parent. Instead of
Right.
trying to prove to your kids that I'm the better mom or I'm the better dad, just go be a better person, and then your kids are going to see that, and you'll be a better parent. So, if you get the conversations, well, I can't believe my ex did this, or I can't believe my ex did that. Well, how could you not believe it? You guys are not married anymore for those reasons,
Right.
right? Like, you know what you're walking into, I think. And that's, that you got to adjust your perspective. It's your job to adjust to the person. That person's never going to adjust to you, because if they did, then maybe you guys would have still been together. Right. So if you already know what you're walking into, you already know who this person's triggers are or how they react to things, then you can't be shocked by it when it happens.
Right.
Right. And then if you understand that, you understand that perspective, then that co-parenting is a lot easier. You're never going to agree on everything, but it's your job to parent the way you parent at the house, give your kids the tools necessary, and them to do the same at their house. You guys got to have the same compass and direction on where you want these kids to be, which is happy and healthy. But short of that, you guys don't have to agree on everything. Like, nobody does. But
Let's
everyone,
be.
it's just, It's that
you couldn't right. You couldn't agree. You couldn't agree with that person probably when you were together. Let alone now you're apart and you're supposed to be in lockstep making. They're like, no, of course not.
No, like it's not about being right. Like that's what I mean. And that we've had those conversations over this podcast. It's and I know you don't like that joke. We know Joe likes to be right. Like Joe loves to be right, but you don't have to be unless you're Joe. You know, but
it's a flaw.
No, it's yeah, but if you're right, then it's really not a flaw because you're right.
It's
but,
a flaw I mean, that I'm always right. I mean,
yeah. but it's this. It's. I always tell parents, I'm like, it's you never win. Like the winning is at the end when your kid wakes up is breathing and not like you know in trouble and you know got through high school and college and got married and. Those are the winning moments. And there's never going to be a kid who's like, well, my, you know, this parent's better than that parent. If you guys did it right, they're going to love you equally, right? Like they shouldn't have to pick. Like if you're putting your parents in a position where they have to pick, I mean, their kids in a position where they have to pick whose yeah. parents better, then you're doing a shitty job. And, but on the flip side, there's just shitty parents. Like there's just legit, like fucking really bad human beings out there that I've seen, I've come across. And you know, and for those people, you know, go fucking fly a kite. Like you know, I don't like, there's no excuse. They like, just get out of everybody's way. But yeah, you know, it's it makes me thankful for the situation I have, you know, and it makes me like extremely happy when I see like happy families. And as much as you're busting chops about going to Cape Cod, like you do all this so you could go to Cape Cod and yeah. have a good time, like, you know, and do that sort of thing. And that's what parents and everybody should be doing is, you know, you got to live for yourself, but you're also doing better so you can better other people's lives. And that's the name of the game at the end of the day, man. You know, so, but it was a frustrating week all the way around, on that aspect, just cause I get tired of the needless fighting, over dumb shit, just dumb shit all the fucking time. And I don't get it. Cause I don't see that at my house with my wife and her ex-husband. I don't see that stuff. And they're like the model co-parenting and it's not easy, you know, but you know, then you go to court and it's just like, well, they didn't tie the shoes properly, or how dare you put my daughter in pigtails for the first time? And I'm like, I mean, maybe if she was like slanging crack on the West End of Bristol, then you know, that's bad. A fucking, that's a problem. Right. Like, but pigtails, like that's why I'm in court. So I think it's just the perspective people need to change. And I think, you know, us as attorneys, I know like this isn't my attorney podcast, but I said this last time, it's our responsibility to keep our clients' heads on straight and not feed into it. Like, you know, it's my job to go ahead and be emotional, but like, it's my job to rein you back in a little bit.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there are attorneys out there who might see a co-parenting experience and say to their client, like, you're being too nice, you're being too agreeable? Do you think attorneys are doing that, or do you think it's all? Yeah, you think so? That's crazy.
A thousand percent. Okay. I've seen attorneys that, you know, you're given too much right now. Like that's the phrase, like right now, maybe down the road, but right now. And sometimes you have to get in your client's way a little bit because the situation doesn't call for what they want. I have one of those cases now and I won't do it because I know where that decision maker is coming from. But yes, it's being driven by billable hours. There's a lot more pro se parties now because the people can't afford the attorneys. And you know, I could tell you I've dealt with many attorneys who've made recommendations and fought without ever having a conversation with their client. Like have no, I went into a hearing where I already knew the client agreed and she's just arguing with the judge left and right. And I already had the signed agreement in my hand because they went and signed it the night before themselves, you know, and it's shitty. It's not the majority of the attorneys, but you do see it happen. But like, it's not my job. Like I tell my clients, I don't get emotional with my clients. It's not my job to do that. I let you be emotional, then I guide you through the process. And, but it's much different than coaching, right? Like I get paid to give advice as an attorney, right? I tell you what you need to do because this is my legal advice. And, you know, this is how you navigate the system and this sort of thing. But in the coaching, it's, I help you figure out what works for you. So it's, but I find those things tend to blend into each other a lot. Just cause I'm a small firm and my clients come back to me for other things. So, but yeah, it's people feasting off of people's famine.
Yeah.
You know,
do you know why divorce is so expensive?
Cause
it's worth it.
Wow, Joe, is it always worth the price? I don't, to be honest with you, I've asked that question a million times. It's funny because I always look at like what I'm charging compared to everybody else, and I could be a lot richer. I probably could have like a body double right now doing my podcast for me. but I think it's, for the most part, it's a bait and switch, dude. Like, I really don't think people need to spend $30,000-$40,000 on a divorce. But, you know, if you could take your emotions out of it, and if you could sit there and tell someone, hey, do you think it's worth spending 50 grand to leave this person you hate? They're going to be like, why would I want to spend $50,000 on someone I don't like when I wouldn't even want to spend $5 on them? It's the way I look at it, but these people just like, ha-ha, I won. And the only one walking out with a smile, me,
yeah,
or the attorney. Like, you never win. Like, there's no, you don't get a fucking trophy, you don't get the people's belt. Like, there's not like a fucking row of people high-fiving you out of the courthouse. Like, you just won an NBA championship. You're just another sad person walking down the sidewalk in Hartford, hoping not to break your ankle in one of the 4,000 cracks and potholes. Listen, I know because I did that walk. I know I did that walk. But yeah, man, and it's just people are, and I get it. Like, it's the big what if, right? Like, it's the unknown. That's where everyone drives everyone's panic. You know, you don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball, but I tell people you got to focus on the day and being present. I've never done a divorce where my client came out worse. Ever. If I like, it's not about finances, it's the mental health. It's just the deep breath you get to take because you're not carrying that baggage anymore. So everyone ends up fine. You know how many thousands and thousands of divorces happen every day, and people that are fine, you go home, you figure it out, right? Like, and you move on with life and you're good. Like, it's hard to tell someone that as they're going through it, but everyone gets to that point, unless you're just so bitter and you choose not to. Like, that's a choice. Like, people who are like miserable 5 years after a divorce and still bitter about it, that's a choice you made. That has nothing to do with the person you left. At that point, that's just your own choice, just to be bitter and angry. And, you know, you control all of that.
My ex-wife and I drove to our divorce together and then grabbed lunch afterwards.
Yeah, I didn't do that, Joe. That's way too progressive for me. I think my ex-wife gave me a hug, and I wanted to fucking throw myself out into the middle of the road. I'm pretty, you know what? It's crazy. So, I remember this. So we were getting divorced. It was a Friday. It was an afternoon in Hartford, and I do a lot of business in Hartford. And so I remember I was like walking around the West Farms Mall, just fucking head down, kicking dirt bunnies, just like, you know, and I see my ex-wife's aunt, and she's like, oh, you look so nice, like totally like clueless. And I'm like, yeah, well, oh, that's so sad. And I'm like, I just crumble, bro. I just like start whimpering like into like a tree in the middle of the, you know, mall, fucking dry heaving. And then I showed up to court, and it's like we were the only case on, and they have like this big flat screen, and it's like Provenzano v. Provenzano. And I'm like, and all the marshals were like, hey, Vin. And I'm like, oh my, like, yeah, it was a fucking movie, bro.
Yeah.
A movie. But yeah, it was a, it was, yeah, no, we weren't getting dinner. Like, we weren't. But like now, like, you know, if I see her, I'd say hi and whatever. Like, I mean, I'm not, I mean, I was angry for a while, but like, I'm good now. So like, I always tell people, they're like, you don't care. And I'm like, it's not that you don't care. It's just like, my life is so good. Like, what am I going to be mad about at this point? Right. Like, you know, the situation happened. She wasn't happy. She made a decision, and you know, it is what it is. Like, do you wish things would be different? Probably not now, because I got the life I have now.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad at anybody about it. So you have to, I can be like, you know, I could just drive around town. We live in the same town and just be that bitter, weird guy all fucking day. But like, my life is good. Like, she's doing good. Like, I just, you know, went out to dinner with, like, so my best friend's married. Well, one of my best friends married to her cousin, so I got to see some people and shit. But like, I don't harbor any ill will towards anybody. But I think it's just because at the end of the day, you have a right to go make yourself happy. So I can't be mad at that. You can be mad at the situations, and that's what I tell people. Like, you know, whether there's infidelity or whatever reason, you can be mad at the situation. But if the person's like, hey, I'm just not happy with you, then be hurt, but you can't be mad about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend the rest of your life being miserable. I mean, who would be miserable with me? I mean, that's fucking wild, though.
I know.
Fucking wild, dude. Like,
maybe? I'm telling you, I think once you're in a good place.
Yeah.
After a breakup, divorce, or just dating, I think what holds people back, number one, it's the idea that you're alone.
Yep.
Because right at the end of the day, it's like, that person sucks for you. What you're sad about is that you're alone. It's not that person. It's the loneliness part. So once you sort of get over that and you start focusing in on yourself, that's when all the, I just don't give a fuck. That's when you can get to that level of like, yeah, I don't. I've been divorced now since 2007.
Mm-hmm.
17 years I've been divorced from my ex-wife. I don't think about her at all. And we are obviously, my two daughters are from her. But it doesn't dawn on me to think about her, or, you know, sometimes my kids will bring up their mom who they haven't seen in years, and they'll be, oh, sorry to bring it up. I'm like, I don't care.
Oh, because you're good in where you're at, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I always get the question of like, well, how did you move on? Or I'm not going to find anyone. Or I've been looking, and I always tell people, like, you can't go look to fall in love with the right person, right? Like, you gotta fall in love with yourself first, because that's the lifetime commitment, right? That is the true love of your life, is yourself. And once you find out, hey, I'm good with myself, you will find that person that will gravitate towards you. You can't go out looking for it, right? Like, I wasn't looking to meet my wife when I was going through my divorce, like, but I allowed my moments of, like, I had done the work on myself where I allowed those pockets of happiness. Right. If I didn't do the work on myself and really started to love myself, then I wouldn't have taken that opportunity to meet my wife. But yeah, it has really nothing to do with the other person. It just really has to do with you. And if you're good with you, then you're going to be good with that situation.
Right. It seems like it's about the other person, especially if they beat you into the dating pool. But you're right. Ultimately, dude, it's not about them at all. It's about you. And it's just about putting yourself in the place where you, and like you said, I mean, if you're not in a good place, you're not going to find anybody anyway. And even if you do, it's not going to work out. So,
well, correct. Right. Because like, if you're not happy with you, how do you expect someone else to be happy with you? Right. Like, that's, like,
and obviously the person, right, the person you were just with wasn't happy with you. You're not a good partner for somebody right now because you're fucked up.
Well, that's what, like, I think that was the thing that had switched when I was going through my divorce. Like, I started working on myself, and it was like I was just me working on me. And by the time I got to like, hey, I'm good with myself, I realized like, even if I was this good at a different point in that marriage, it still wouldn't have worked. because we were, it just, it didn't work. So, for a variety of reasons, but like, I was so good in my space by the time like the pandemic hit and I really started getting to know my wife and stuff that it wasn't so much about my wife. It was just like, I'm good with where I'm at. Like, if you're good with me being me, right? Like we were talking about like last time, like confidence, right? Don't let my confidence offend your insecurity. Yeah. Like we are unapologetically us. Right. And I found that person who likes all of it, or maybe like 75% of it, and tolerates the other 25%. You know, but I think it, at the end of the day, it's just, you hit the nail on the head. It just, once you're good with you, you will find that other people will be good with you. But if you don't like the way you are, how do you expect anyone to like you? Like, you know, so that's that. We turned that ship around real quick, Joe. Let me tell you.
I know. If you stuck through all the way to the end, you learned some stuff here. This is good.
you had to wade through some shit, get your knee-high boots on, and you got through it. But if you got to 1 hour and 11 minutes of this fucking podcast, just DM us. I'll send you a t-shirt, maybe like some chocolates or something. you know, because you had to power through this one. But no, man, this was a good one. Hopefully you could do some editing on your end. So if you guys hear this and it is seamless, send Joe like a thank you basket, because he's gonna have to do some Edward Scissorhands with this one.
It's gonna be flawless. changeofplanct.com, that is the website. Again, if you're looking for some life coaching, I think this is the guy that you want to talk to. You really, you know, you help me out in so many ways. I like to talk these things out, and I get a little clarity at the end. That's why you get like the big lesson at the end. It's like an episode of This Is Us.
That's perfect. But listen, man, like it's the same. It goes right back at you, man. Like I think it's we have these moments of like, you know, we click and then we can go on those conversations. But I think this is why people like us, that it's real life talk. Like you could talk about, hey, my dog might shit in my office, or why does my kid shit halfway through a chicken cutty? And then by the end of it, like we're talking about, like you really got to work on yourself so you can find that person that wants to be with you. But like it's all learning from each other, because you'll say things that click that I didn't think of, and vice versa. You know, but I think overall, I think we both help our listeners, and that's the name of the game. Is we want you to laugh, and then we want you to learn some stuff and then laugh some more, and then get through an hour and 13 minutes of chaos with recording equipment on occasion. But
you keep saying an hour 13, an hour 11. You realize once this is edited smoothly, it's going to be like a buck two.
I know, but I want them to know how good you are, Joe. I just want them to know. But man, no, we, I think for the both of us, we appreciate everyone downloading. I had a guy today, buddy of mine from high school. He's like, I've been on the road all day. I listened to every single episode. And I just sent it to him today. And he's like, I listened.
Oh, that's
to all
really great.
Like, and he's like, I listened to episode 8 twice. And I'm like, fucking dope. So
nice. I had a buddy, who checked out our episode last Tuesday, and he was like, I tried to watch it. I'm just not into that shit. And I said, oh, Wayne, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying that.
Preach. Maybe we'll send him that the hidden episode. He might like that one better.
He might.
All right. All right, my man. Listen, you go get ready for your vacation. I'm going to go make sure my dog takes a shit.
Do it up. And everybody, listen, obviously, if you're going to take one piece of advice from this show, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. I love it. I love it. All right, guys. Have a good one. Joe, see you soon.
For Vin Provenzano, I'm Joe McGuire. We'll catch you on the next episode of the Change of Plans podcast.